So we are finishing our sermon series today on this overwhelmed or overcoming worship time that we've had the last few weeks. And if you remember, we started at the beginning of Daniel, and we've been talking about what it means to be an overcomer, to not allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by the experiences that we face in this life. And I hope and my prayer in all of this has been that as we go from this series, that each and every one of you will truly know that there is nothing in this world that you must be destined to be overwhelmed by. That regardless of whether the circumstances are in your control or out of your control, whether it's government and politics, or whether it's stuff in your family, whether it's your finances, or even your past, none of those things are destined to overwhelm you. In fact, God has created each and every one of us to be overcomers, and he's given us Jesus Christ, which empowers us to overcome anything. And so today we are wrapping up our series by taking a look at what happened with King Nebuchadnezzar. As I just mentioned to the kids, if you remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about how King Nebuchadnezzar made this huge change in his life. You know, he was this awful tyrant of a king, and then all of a sudden, at the beginning of chapter 4, he is singing God's praises. Y'all remember that? And I had told you back then when we read that scripture that there's a lot that goes into that. There's a lot of time between chapter 3 and chapter 4. So to catch us up, Jerry's going to read a little bit, a lot. It's a long scripture passage this morning. And let's stand and just hear and let these words wash over us and catch up on this part of the story.
Good morning. So at first I was overwhelmed when I saw my reading, but then I gave thanks to God for my reading. Daniel 4, 19 through 37. And then Daniel, who was called Belshazzar, was severely distressed for a while. His thoughts terrified him. The king said, Belshazzar, do not let the dream of the interpretation terrify you. Belshazzar answered, My Lord, may the dream be for those who hate you, and its interpretation for your enemies. The tree that you saw, which grew great and strong, so that its top reached food for all, it reached to heaven and was visible to the end of the whole earth, whose foliage was beautiful and its fruit abundant, and which provided food for all, under which animals of the field lived, and in whose branches the birds of the air had nests, it is you. O king, you have grown great and strong. Your greatness has increased and reaches to heaven, and your sovereignty to the ends of the earth. And whereas the king saw a holy watcher coming down from heaven and saying, Cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave its stump and roots in the ground with a band of iron and bronze, in the grass of the field, and let him be bathed with the dew of the heaven, and let his lot be with the animals of the field, until seven times passes over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and its decree of the Most High that has come upon my lord the king. You shall be driven away from human society, and your dwelling shall be with the wild animals. You shall be made to eat grass like oxen. You shall be bathed with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you until you have learned that the Most High has sovereignty over the kingdom of mortals, and gives it to whom he will. As it was commanded to leave the stump and roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be reestablished for you from the time that you learn that heaven is sovereign. Therefore, O king, may my counsel be acceptable to you. Atone for your sins with righteousness and your iniquities with mercy to the oppressed, so that your prosperity may be prolonged. All this upon King Nebuchadnezzar, and the end of the 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. And the king said, Is this not magnificent Babylon, which I have built as a royal capital by my mighty power and for all my glorious majesty? While the words were still in the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven. O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared, the kingdom has departed from you. You shall be driven away from human society, and your dwelling shall be with the animals of the field. You shall be made to eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you, until you have learned that the Most High has sovereignty over the kingdom of mortals and gives it to whom he will. Immediately, the sentence was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven away from human society, ate grass like oxen, and his body was bathed with the dew of heaven, until his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers and his nails became like bird's claws. When that period was over, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me. I blessed the Most High and praised and honored the one who lives forever, for his sovereignty is an everlasting sovereignty, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does what he will with the host of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. There is no one who can stay his hand or say to him, "What are you doing?" At this time, my reasons returned to me, and my majesty and splendor were restored to me for the glory of my kingdom. My counselors and my lords sought me out. I was reestablished over my kingdom, and still more greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven, for all his works are truth. His ways are justice, and he is able to bring low those who walk in pride. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? Lord, we come to you and continue to worship as we look in your scriptures this morning. And God, I praise and thank you for your scriptures and the way that they continue to breathe life into us today. And so God, I ask now that as we look at your holy word, you would use it to light the dark places of our minds, to warm the cold places in our souls, and to heal the brokenness in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So have you ever had someone ask you for advice and you give that advice, but they go on as if you said nothing at all? Anybody ever been there? I kind of think that's how my mom must have felt about me until I became a grown-up. Parents of teenagers, there is hope. I do listen to my mom's advice these days most of the time. I have learned that she is wise. But haven't we all been there before, where we have offered this advice to someone, we see someone going down the wrong road, we step in and we say, "Stop! Don't continue down that path. There's only bad things ahead for you if you keep going that direction." And it almost tears us up, doesn't it, to just watch them continue traveling down that road. I think that that's what Daniel must have been feeling like a little bit in our passage this morning. You know, this dream that Nebuchadnezzar had really got to Daniel. It says in the text that he was perplexed. He really struggled with having to give Nebuchadnezzar such bad news. He started out, you know, buttering him up. Did y'all catch that? "Lord, I wish this was for your worst enemies. Don't kill the messenger, right? This is bad news. I hate to tell you this." And then he goes on to explain that the king's pride has gotten out of control, and that God is using this dream to communicate to him, to say, "Stop what you are doing. Come to your senses now, or there will be horrible consequences to pay." And then the toughest part, I think, of Daniel's advice was this line. And I wonder if King Nebuchadnezzar even heard it. In verse 27, it says, "Atone for your sins with righteousness, and your iniquities with mercy to the oppressed, so that your prosperity may be prolonged." Atone for your sin. In other translations, if you read it in your own Bible, you might see words like renounce or repent. The Aramaic word used in this text is parak. You want to say that? That's easy. Parak. And parak means to break off or break away. So in other words, Daniel is saying, break away from your sin. Your decision to do life your way rather than God's way, your decision to think that it's all about you, it's only going to lead you to bad places. It is your greatest weakness. You know, I think this is kind of a big aha moment for me when I'm reading those overwhelming situations. So regardless of where you find yourself today, Daniel pleads with you as he pleads with King Nebuchadnezzar, and he says, break away from your sin, atone from your sin, that will change your future. And it's good advice, it's great advice, but it's advice that we don't often take just right away, do we? And just like that, Nebuchadnezzar didn't take the advice either. After a year of continuing along that same road, King Nebuchadnezzar's dream came true. He lost his palace, he lost his power, he even lost his sanity. It says his hair was growing all over his body like the feathers of an eagle, and his hands became like the claws of a bird. I don't know about you, but it kind of sounds like a cross between Dumbledore's phoenix and Chewbacca. Maybe it's my recent vacation, but that's just how I'm seeing this, you know, in the worst way possible. King Nebuchadnezzar has become this awful beast-like creature. Everything he held dear to him is gone, stripped away. And it isn't until then, by the way, it didn't even, like, that happened and then he stayed in that place for 7 years, right? It wasn't until 7 years of misery had passed that King Nebuchadnezzar finally surrendered to God. Why do we do that? Why must we push ourselves to rock bottom? Why do we allow sin to have so much power over our lives? I think part of the problem is too often, first of all, we just don't like talking about sin. It's not a fun thing to talk about. And too often when we talk about sin or when we deal with sin, we look at the fruit and not the root of the sin. We look at the external behavior, the thing that we can see right up at the surface, rather than digging deep down to the root cause. Selfishness, pride, anger, impatience, laziness, apathy, worry, gossip, addiction, lust, greed. We all have our vices. All of us have them. And too often, when we decide to make a change in our lives, we aim for the fruit and not the root. We deal with that outside behavior. You know, you might say, I'm so sorry for that lie. Or I'm so sorry for that mean thing that I said. I'm so sorry for that shopping spree. I shouldn't have spent my money that way. I'm so sorry for that outburst of anger or rage. And then you just hope, like you say you're sorry, and you hope it doesn't happen again, right? But there's a big difference, isn't there, between saying, I'm sorry I lied, and, God, I'm sorry I want to lie. I'm sorry that I fear the truth. I'm sorry that I don't trust you. Help me to not want to lie anymore. I don't want to be a liar. Do y'all see the difference between those two things? Or, I'm sorry for that mean thing I said. I'm sorry for that outburst. Versus, God, I am angry inside, and I don't want to be angry anymore. Help me not to be an angry person. I want anger to be broken off of my life. Do y'all see the difference between the fruit and the root? We must deal with sin at its root. You know, just because sin isn't visible doesn't mean it doesn't exist in our lives. And while it is good to, I mean, I make my kids apologize to each other all the time. You can ask them. I make them stand in the kitchen and look at each other in the eye and go, I'm sorry, Monica, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, and then it's over. We move on. And we do need to do that. We need to be able to practice saying, I'm sorry. But I want to say to you this morning that God is not in the business of sin management. Jesus did not come to help you manage your sin. Jesus came and died on the cross to free you that face you in your life. When I think about this breaking off action, that parak word in the scriptures, I think about this story from when I was a little girl. When I was little, I was a pretty scrawny kid. I know that's hard to believe now, but I was tiny. I mean, I was even picked on for being so skinny, okay? And so for my mom, she was always trying to find ways to get me to get all of my nutrients in. Parents, we know what that's like, right? To get our kids are well-balanced and strong. And so one of the things that she always wanted me to do was drink milk, but I hate milk. Like, this white milk right here is disgusting, in my opinion. White milk, I can't. So I have a little baby girl, and people are always like, well, smell the milk to see if it's good. I always think it smells bad. Like, milk is just gross, okay? I hate white milk. But my mom kept this amazing, magical stuff in the pantry that transformed my disgusting white milk into something I loved more than anything. Like, I would drink it every day after school. Dun, dun, dun. Chocolate syrup, right? And so, with chocolate syrup, man, I was good. I would drink milk every day. In fact, I looked forward to having my chocolate milk after school. And one day, I came home from school, and it must have been one of those bad days, because I came home, and I went in to make my chocolate milk, and I pulled the chocolate syrup out of the pantry, and I get it out, and I open it up, and I'm like squeezing and squeezing, and nothing's coming out, and so I'm like shaking it, and then I start banging it on the counter, and then I went and made this really loud noise that seems to run in my family. I was like, ugh! And my mom walked in and was like, what is wrong with you? And I said, I can't make my chocolate milk. And so she comes in and she turns the thing, and the seal is still on. And so she gets real easily, breaks the seal off the chocolate milk and sets it on the counter and gives me one of those looks like, really? You know, take a deep breath, right? But in the same way that I could not get my chocolate milk made because this seal was in the way, I couldn't transform my disgusting white milk into the yummy, chocolatey goodness I had been looking forward to all day. This seal is a lot like us in our lives. There is so much goodness in here. But this seal is the sin that keeps us from really being able to experience the transformation that God has in store for us. And so I wonder this morning, what is this in your life? What is the seal in your life? It can be hard, really, to answer that question. I mean, just to be totally vulnerable with you, there were years that during church, when we would pray about repentance, when we would say, God, you know, here are my sins, and I was supposed to name them, I couldn't get further than just the surface. I couldn't get further than the surface. It was the, I said something mean this morning. I was disrespectful to my parents. But you know, sin is so much bigger than just this thing that we do over here, or this action, or this thought. It's not one thing, usually. It's kind of a whole group of things, a pattern of things, a behavior, maybe. You know, one of the ways I like to help people understand sin is with the archery term of hitting a bullseye. You know, as Christians, we are all aiming for the center red dot, right? If we're Christians and that center red dot, that bullseye, is God's will, it's what God wants for us in our lives, then I believe all of us wake up every morning. I know I do, and I hope that I'm aiming for that target, and I want to hit the center. But there are all kinds of ways that I fail. There are all kinds of ways that I don't always get it right. And so I think one of the ways that we can think about sin is any time that our life falls outside of the bullseye, there is something there that maybe needs to be addressed. Sometimes it's intentional. Sometimes it's an accident. Sometimes it's one behavior. Sometimes it's a pattern of behavior. Sometimes it's very public, and sometimes it's very private. Jesus has come to free you from that. And Daniel teaches us this morning that we have to be willing to change the way we are thinking. If we want to prosper, if we want to overcome the difficulties in our lives, this has to break off in order for that transformation to take place. Repentance always precedes transformation. Can you say that? Repentance always precedes transformation. And so I want you to think right now about what this is for you. What holds you back from God? What holds you back from peace? What holds you back from true joy? What is keeping you in life from being the person that deep down you know God has created you to be? You know, King Nebuchadnezzar had to hit rock bottom. He spent 7 years miserable. And I bet there are people in this room who have hit rock bottom before. I know I have definitely hit rock bottom before. There may even be people in this room who, like King Nebuchadnezzar, are dangerously close to hitting rock bottom, but are oblivious to it. But God comes to you today and says you can break off the sin in your life. Romans 6:23 says this: "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." And 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness." So I wonder this morning if you, like my mom, would break off that seal. If you would be willing to allow the grace of Jesus Christ to flow into you. The kids in the front row are having a little good time. If you would accept the gift of healing and be transformed by God's grace this morning, I have to taste it. That is so good. Still, I don't really drink chocolate milk anymore, but that's pretty good. Seriously. We're about to move into a time of communion. And I don't know if you've noticed before, but every time we come to the communion table, there is a part of coming forward that begins with repentance. We believe that the communion table is so powerful that it is a breeding ground for transformation. Let's take a few moments and just reflect and ask God this question. God, what is holding me back from being the person you created in me? What sin in my life do you desire to break off of me? So just take a few moments of silence. Take a few deep breaths and listen to God. God, what do you want to break off in our lives? God, repentance is hard if we try to do it on our own. But the grace of Jesus Christ comes as soon as we ask. And so, Lord, for each and every person in this room, I pray right now that you would pour out the grace of Jesus in this place. That we would truly break away from the destructive patterns in our lives. God, you know each and every heart here. Some of us don't even know what we need to ask for. Some of us know and don't want to admit it. But Lord, on this day that we gather around a table and have this family meal of bread and juice, remembering your sacrifice for us, help us know in our deepest hearts of our souls that there is no shame in Jesus Christ, that we have nothing to fear, and that your grace has truly justified us. So Lord, free us this morning. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.